You bring your phone everywhere. Work, school, the movies. Now you can bring it to an Xfinity store for an easy way to switch to Xfinity Mobile, a new kind of network designed to save you money. You can get up to 5 lines of talk and text included with Xfinity Internet at no extra cost, so all you pay for is data. It's never been easier to switch to Xfinity Mobile and keep the phone you love. Click here to see how. Sorry, I gotta take this. Restrictions apply. Limited to select mobile phones. Requires activation of a new line of Xfinity Mobile. Up to 5 devices per account. New Xfinity Internet customers limited to up to 2 lines pending activation of Internet service.
Welcome, everyone, to another very exciting episode of Supernatural Girls Radio. I am your host, Patricia Baker, and I am here with my co-host all the way from sunny Tucson, Miss Patricia Kirkman. How are you, PK?
Absolutely fabulous. Our weather has turned cool enough. I could wear a little bit of a jacket today.
Wow. Woo-hoo. Now that is a
sleeves.
Big change.
Oh, yes.
Wow. 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 Well, I'll tell you what, it's gotten a little too chilly here. I have my little ski parka on today and my snow boots, even though thank God we didn't have any snow. It's chilly. I heard a rumor it's going to warm up by the end of the week. I'm hoping and praying that it does. But anyways, we have got a great show for everybody tonight, do we not?
We certainly do.
Yes, we've got Carl Higdon and his lovely wife, Marjorie. And we had a few technical difficulties with the video. So we're going to start with the phone. Who knows? Maybe we'll be able to get the video working at some point. But they are just the most adorable couple, aren't they?
Oh, they're fun.
They are.
Absolutely
honest
fabulous.
As the day
so
is
sweet.
Long. Yes, very sweet. And they have the most amazing story to tell. This is a real story. It's a true story with real evidence, everybody. And we are lucky enough to have them on the show. And this is all thanks to one of our former guests, Leo Sprinkle. Leo is the one who told us about this amazing case. And he is close friends also with Marjorie and Carl. And he said, these people have an incredible case. It's not talked about much. And it's really too bad it isn't, because I think it's one of the absolute best UFO abduction cases ever. And why I'm saying that, and you know this, PK, it's because mm-hmm. the evidence is just, I mean, you just can't turn away from the evidence. The evidence is physical and it's there. What do you think about this?
Absolutely mind-boggling. I could not believe it as I'm going through this. And I'm just fascinated, absolutely fascinated by this. I can't wait to have Carl tell us about his adventure.
I know. And Marjorie, too.
Marjorie as well, because she got the scare side.
She got Carl the scare side, don't. Too. Yes,
right.
where the heck her husband went. So, yes, so we're going to be talking to these lovely folks in just a couple minutes. But first, mm-hmm. PK, we have to find out a little bit about the numbers. What's going on? We've had craziness again in New York City.
Yes.
What's happening?
Firstly, you've got to remember this is our month change. So this is a new month. It's a universal 3 month. And it's all about communications, creativity, and everything going crazy from the outside. So what's happening is everybody's got something to say, something to do, and they don't know what to do about it. But it is a wonderful time if you pay attention. There is a lot to share. Communications of all forms are going to go out. We're going to find out that the weak link this month is going to deal with the throat and lungs, because you will find that if you don't speak your truth, something may be a little raspy, or if you start getting a sore throat, stop and think, what did I not say that I was supposed to?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So speak your truth, or you're going to end up with some kind of illness, sore throat, coughing,
exactly.
Something like that. We don't want that. Nobody wants that. So
no.
Speak your truth.
But the nice thing about this month is the creativity and the communication abilities are very good, can be very scattered. But there's a luck factor that goes with it. So if you get that inkling to maybe take a flyer on something this month, by all means do so. Stand a better chance of winning this month than most. Threes and fives always have a winning element to them.
Time to buy the lottery tickets.
That's right. I was going to stop on the way home, but I had to get home to take a look at you.
Oh, look at that. How sweet. Well, yes. We have some great stories on our Facebook page. Again, I want to urge everybody to make a visit over there because we've got some really unusual stories about men in black. We've got some more UFO sightings that have come around. There's a lot of UFO sightings. Yes. I mean, more than ever before.
Remember, this is all about communications. That's going to be coming up this month.
Well, maybe people they'll start communicating right with us again, huh?
Oh,
it's about time.
Nice. Yes.
I'm ready.
Thank you for joining us on the show.
Yes, it's time. We got to start interviewing the aliens, you know. We're interviewing the abductees, the people that have these scary experiences. Mm-hmm. But I think it's time to interview the aliens. So open invitation, guys and gals out there in cosmic space. So, yeah, I think it's time to find out what they have to say. They can come down here and have a seat next to me or you, and we'll have a chat. I think our audience would enjoy it. What about you? What do you think?
I think that's a great idea. And, you know, we're talking about all the things coming up this month because of the creative side. We're talking about the dreams and dreaming and what you do with dreams. I think that is an excellent month for people to get in touch with you.
Well, thank you.
I think you need to tell them a little bit more about that.
Yes, I think people should get in touch with me if they want to do any work on their dreams at all. If you want to get a little deeper into these levels of consciousness, then this is the way to do it. Dreaming is your ticket. I'll be happy to help anybody who wants to do that kind of work and learn more about it. Personal symbols, universal symbols. This is what I've done for so many years, and I love it. It's one of my most favorite things to do. And also, to visit you for the numbers. If you want to know what your numerology looks like, then PatriciaKirkman.com. That's where you want to go and pay a visit to Patricia Kirkman.
Thank you.
Set up an appointment so you can find out what it's going to look like for you in the coming year. And certainly the energy has been wild. And so it's good to get a handle on it, know how to handle your own energy as you move forward and your own dreams. So we're here to help.
Yes.
And you can contact us through the website, which is supernaturalgirlswithaz.com. And again, be sure to visit our Facebook page, give us a like, follow us, and so you can keep track of all these tremendous guests that we have tonight and going forward to the rest of the year and beyond. Got them all. We've got some great things happening, so don't want to miss it. Make sure you follow us.
In the event you have missed something, you can always go back to our site.
That's right, because we have
the best part.
Everything archived. So if you miss a show, you can go back to the archives and listen to it there. You can also go to irn.com and listen to it on that website. So either way, we got you covered here where
That's
the paranormal
right.
is normal on Supernatural Girls. So I don't want to waste any more of our time. I know we have a huge audience out there that wants to hear from our guests tonight. And we've got great guests. We have Marjorie and Carl Higdon, and we're going to bring them on the show, and we're going to start with Marjorie's account of what happened the day that her husband went hunting, and the date, just so everybody knows what we're talking about, this happened on October 25th, 1974, and Carl was 41 years old at the time. He was an oil well driller. He had the day off. He decided to go elk hunting. So at home was his lovely wife Marjorie and their four children, and we're going to pick it up from there. We're going to hear all about it. Now if you have questions for Marjorie and Carl, then you can write those in the chat room and we will ask those questions for you on your behalf. So Marjorie, Carl, are you there? Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Carl's working, trying to get the video to come back up.
Oh, gosh, that's great. Well, Marjorie, we're going to start with you anyways while Carl is working on the video. So, again, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for asking us.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. So I know everybody's dying to hear from you. Now, you were at home that day. Carl went off hunting. Tell us what happened. Set this up for us. What occurred on that day for you?
I had been at work that day, and I had come home from work and around 4 o'clock, roughly. And I just had this uneasy feeling that I had to go find my husband. I knew he had gone hunting. I had no idea where he had gone. He had said he was going out south. Probably to the McCarty Canyon, but I had this idea I had to go look for him. I called my girlfriend and asked her if she would take me out and help me look for him. And she kind of settled me down, and she explained that if Carl bagged an elk, it would take him some time to field dress it and carry it out. And she told me just be patient. And so we talked a little bit, and I hung up, and I started busying myself with supper. And as I worked more with supper, the feeling eased. And then about 6:30, the phone rang, and it was Carl's foreman had called, and he wanted to know where Carl is. And I told him I really did not know. And he told me that they had someone on the phone on the company radio, and they, we think this man has been hurt. It sounds like Carl, but we're not for sure.
Oh, wow.
Now, where did he go hunting? And so again, I told him I really didn't know where he went. I just knew he had gone hunting. And the office in Riverton had established that it was Carl's company pickup and that the man on the radio was probably Carl. And the sheriff said that the game warden had talked with Carl earlier that afternoon, and Carl was standing in front of his pickup parked on a knoll. And I want to emphasize that the he was his pickup was parked on a knoll that afternoon. And so they had narrowed it down to the forest south of town and have pinpointed the general area.
So you must have sheriff, you must have felt a little bit better that at least they saw his pickup, at least they saw him. He may have been injured, but at least they found him. That must have made you feel a little bit better.
Well, not exactly. That kind of made me want to go to him then. I had to go to him then.
Oh, sure.
That was just and, the way I felt.
And what town did this happen in? This is just a question that came up in the chat room. Where were you living at the time?
We were living in Rawlins, Wyoming. And this happened out south in the forest area, Medicine National Forest.
So go ahead. So they found him, and they found his truck in a knoll. That's a very strange thing that it was in the knoll. So go ahead. What happened after that?
No, you got that wrong. Okay, the pickup was parked on parked on top of a hill when the game warden talked to him.
And
then they had kind of pinpointed the area from there. And then there was a search party of, I don't remember how many, four-wheel drive pickups that went out for in the search party. Once again, I called my girlfriend and told her that they were going out to look for Carl and asked if her and her husband would help me and take me out. And they came right down and picked me up, and we went out to the forest also. They would not allow Marilyn and Don and I to go on out to where they were going, where they made us stay in the forest on top of a hill.
Okay.
We kept calling on the CB to see if they had found him yet. I'm just going to quote. A reply came back. See him? Hell. We aren't even into the area yet. We keep getting stuck and have to pull each other. It is a hell of a mess in here. Stay on top of the hill. Don't even think of coming in here. We will call you when we find him. His office still has him on the company radio. We are pretty sure of the area. And we sat in the pickup on top of the hill waiting.
Oh, dear.
And as we were waiting, we kind of decided, well, we might as well get a little bit of rest. My girlfriend leaned her head back on the back of the pickup seat and started to doze off when all of a sudden she hollered, quit moving the truck. And we both told her we're not moving the truck. And she said, but look at that star. It's moving and changing colors and doing crazy things. And Dawn told her, just go to sleep, you're dreaming. Just leave us alone and go back to sleep.
My goodness.
And then a little bit late, and I want to make a note, too, that night was not a full moon, but that night you could have picked up a dime on the forest road. It was out.
Oh. Wow.
That startling in its own right.
After a little while, the search party called back on the CB and told Dawn that we have Carl, but we're going out a different way. It'll be a lot easier to go out by the gate at the bottom, meet us there. And so we met him there. But as we were waiting for them to come out through the bottom, again, you're in the mountains, so we were on a hill. They were coming in through the bottom part and circling around and then coming up to get out through the gate. At that time, we both made the remark, the sun is just coming up, not thinking about the time of the night and that it was way too early for the sun to be coming up.
So what were you seeing? Where was this light?
A bright orange light. Bright orange light. Bright. Big.
Okay.
But really, we were waiting for Carl, so we didn't even think anything more about it at that time.
Sure.
When they brought Carl out, the first thing I did was I ran over to the pickup they had Carl in. But he seemed different, and I tried to talk to him, and he was just like he was looking through me.
Oh my goodness.
And finally I asked him, did you get your elk? That was the only thing I could think of. And he looked dazed, and then he looked up through the windshield, and in a sing-song type of voice, he said, they took my elk. They took my elk. And Carl is shivering so bad. He's so cold. So I took my coat off and tried to drape it over his shoulders. But he moved back crying. Don't you touch me. Don't touch me. And I'm scared. I don't know what's wrong. So I told Dawn, I said, get the rifle. Get it out of the truck. I don't know what's wrong with him. So Dawn took the rifle out of the gun holder, and he disappeared. And I tried to talk to him again, but he just kept looking up through the windshield towards the sky, and he just kept repeating, they took my elk. They took my elk. And by this time, everybody had filled their pickups with extra gas that they had brought, and they were ready to go. And his foreman, Bud, decided that the condition Carl was in, they better take him to the hospital. And Dawn took me by the shoulders and led me back to his truck. And then we headed down the road following to the hospital in Rawlins. But on the way to the hospital, one of Carl's company men had driven all the way down from Riverton, Wyoming, and to see if he could help. And he stopped the search crew and asked them if Carl would be better maybe in his car. And so he stopped and he opened up the back door to his car and opens it to let Carl get in. And that is when all hell broke loose.
Oh, no.
Carl bolted and ran from the pickup. The deputy sheriff runs to the side of the ditch. He crouches down with his gun drawn and steadied on his knee, ready to shoot if he needed. Carl is not acting like himself, and no one knows what he might do.
Oh my God.
Carl is running.
How terrifying. Yes.
They might have shot him.
Ah!
Carl is running with his arms over his eyes. He is running and screaming, the lights, oh God, the lights. I finally realized that it was the car lights that was bothering him. So I screamed for them to turn them off. And so then Bud and I both hollered for everyone to turn off their lights. As soon as we turned the lights off, Carl calmly walked over to the back door of Roy's car, slams it shut, opens the front door, gets in, and shuts the door. Oh, and once again, the search party is headed for the hospital. Carl is sitting in the front seat with Roy, and he talks with him. He wants to know why Roy isn't dressed in black. Doesn't the sun burn you? And Carl talked about the 163,000 light mile trip into outer space. He talked of a lot of things about his trip that to this day, Roy will not talk about.
My goodness.
And then Carl, is taken.
Yes.
Carl is taken to the Memorial Hospital emergency room in Rawlins, Wyoming. His eyes are watering profusely. His shoulder hurts. He keeps asking for his three-day pills, the one that just floated to him. And we had a new doctor on duty. His name was Dr. Tonko. And Carl was one of his first patients. He's interested by what this patient is telling him about the beings dressed in black, about his 163,000 light mile journey, cone hands that when waved, everything disappeared, not walking, just floating, just go from here to there, no walking. The lights, they burn, they burn. And I'm sorry, but every time we talk of the lights, Carl's eyes start watering. They're watering now.
Oh, my God. All these years later. Oh, my God.
All these years later. And even talking about it now, the inside of me is vibrating. This happens every time.
What a frightening experience. Oh, my goodness, Marjorie. My God, my heart goes out to you. I know yours does too, PK.
Oh, this grief, yes.
Yeah, I mean, we're just on the edge of our seats here, and we both have chills running through us because this is a very scary story, much scarier than I imagined having read about this and having heard about it.
Oh, it goes on and on. Dr. Tonko was so intrigued that he even makes notes of this in Carl's medical records.
It was good.
He's in an amnesic state. He doesn't even know who he is. When his wife asks him his name, he says, "They keep calling me Carl. Who's Carl?"
Oh, my goodness.
We had been married 17 years at that time, I believe.
And he didn't recognize you.
No, but he was very nice. He called me the pretty little lady in the emergency room. Very nice.
Even on the downside, he's smart.
That's right.
Yes. And then I would like the audience to know that Dr. Tonko ordered the tests, and he also ordered the drug test to see if Carl is on drugs.
Oh, for God's
His remark... The way this man is talking, he must be on something. Mm-hmm. And then the nurse in the emergency room, she tried to make Carl comfortable, and she put a washcloth over his eyes to soothe him, and she had to fold him several times so that the lights wouldn't bother his eyes. And then she would take her hands and go over his body and ask him, "Do you hurt? Do you hurt?" And Carl would say, "It hurts. It hurts." But when she went back over these same areas again, it feels better now, which we don't understand.
Yeah, why did that happen? Well, I know we're going to hear more from you, Marjorie, and then we're going to get Carl with us. But right now, we have to take a very short commercial break. Now, everybody, you are listening to the first interview in over 30 years with Marjorie and Carl Higdon. And this is all about the alien abduction that took place in Wyoming. And this happened, again, I'm going to give you the date, October 25th, of 1974. And this is an incredible story. It's a true story, and we're going to get into more of the physical evidence in the rest of the time we have together tonight. Incredible, incredible. Thank you, Marge. Everybody, just stay with us. Fasten your seatbelts. This is going to be a great ride. You're listening to Supernatural Girls of Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to another exciting episode here at Supernatural Girls Radio. We are speaking with Marjorie Higdon, and we are eventually going to get her husband, Carl, on the line with us. Carl was the focus of an incredible abduction that took place in Wyoming in 1974, and it has everything, all of the elements, including physical proof. Now, we've just been on the edge of our seat listening to Marjorie talk about her experience of what happened when her husband went missing in the mountains of Wyoming. He was on an elk hunting expedition, and he didn't come home. So he's been found, just to bring you up to speed on this, and they brought him to a hospital, and he is in some type of amnesiac state where he doesn't even recognize his own wife. He's not even sure who he is. It has been an incredible, incredible listen to Marjorie this evening. And we're going to have her continue for just a little while longer. And then we're going to bring Carl on to hear what happened that day in 1974. So, Marjorie, welcome back to the show. We are talking about what happened in the hospital. So please continue.
Okay, and the doctor has come back with the results of the test. He is in amnesic shock, and he is not on any drugs. No drugs are found in his bloodstream at all. I would like to emphasize that.
That's great.
And yes. Carl just calls me the pretty lady from the emergency room. He doesn't know who I am.
After 17 nice. Years of marriage, yeah. Yes.
Bit of a flirting
right.
again, huh?
Yeah, maybe he was flirting with me.
Hmm. That's right. Uh-huh. He had good taste twice then, right?
But since he couldn't remember anything, I gave him a pencil and paper and told him to write down anything he can remember. That is when he drew a picture of the being, mm-hmm. and he draws a fork in the road, and then he writes Satilla Street, and he says this is all he can remember. He is tired. Mm. The fork in the road has to do with he had planned to go hunting in the McCarty Canyon. There were some two hunters that their pickup was stalled. He stopped to help them. He got it started for them, and they told him the hunting was better in the forest. Mm. So he had planned to go hunting in McCarty Canyon, but went in the forest instead. Was this planned, or was it just happen?
Mm. Was it anyway, fate or not? Yes.
Anyway, later, as Carl gets some rest, I gather up all of his clothing to take home, and his foreman that came down from Riverton takes me home. When we arrive at my house, the sun is just coming up in the east. You got to remember, this is hours later. I made a comment that I thought the sun had already risen. Mm. We both commented that this was very unusual, but we were both too tired and exhausted and didn't think anything more about it. I go into the house and get ready to just take a shower and lay down. I'm exhausted. And when I put Carl's things on the top of the bureau, something falls out of the canteen. It is a mangled piece of metal. I just put the metal back on top of the bureau, and I went to bed and went to sleep. The phone rang several times, people wanting to know how he is. And as I talked to some of them, I told them something about this mangled piece, and they told me to take it to the sheriff. So after showering and change of clothes, I went to the sheriff and asked him if they knew what it was. Well, the sheriff was gone, but the deputy looked at it, And he took it to the back room and came back, and he said, it is a shell casing. I have never seen one in this condition. It looks like it has been turned inside out.
Good Lord.
He took it into another room. He came back again. He handed it back to me and verified it is a 7-millimeter mag shell. I asked him, how did it get in this shape? He replies, leave it alone. It was a weird night. Just leave it alone. I told the deputy what Carl wrote on the paper. She then says, Enders. I don't know what that means. The deputy says there was an Enders in the forest the same night, but he was in a completely different area of the forest. Again, he tells me, don't question it. Leave it alone. Carl's memory did not return until our oldest daughter, Rose, came into his hospital room. It was like he was programmed to get his memory back as soon as he saw her. As soon as he saw her, he knew everything. He knew who he was, who I was, where he was. He just seemed to be okay again. And the doctor told him that he was okay and he could go home. Well, the Daily Times, our newspaper there in Rawlins, got a hold of it and found out about the search party. And she called to find out if the story was true. She talked to Carl. His remark, I don't know if you want to talk to a crazy man or not. I must be crazy.
Oh, my.
I mean, Carl couldn't believe it.
Yeah, it's such an unusual experience. This is not a man who would ever think of anything like this, ever. I mean, this is such an anathema to who he was. Now, also, I just unfortunately got kicked off the air for a minute, but I'm back. There are also a couple of pieces of evidence of medical value about his tuberculosis scars, how that was cleared up. Do you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yes. When we were going together, he was in the hospital, and he had spots on his lungs. And then after we were married several years later, he was passing kidney stones, and he passed quite a few. Since the experience, he no longer has any spots on his lungs. He has not passed another kidney stone. So everybody says these people are they evil? Are they of the devil? No, I do not believe they were evil, and I do not believe they were of the devil. They helped him. They did not hurt him.
And that's good news. It puts our minds at rest with...
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the...
Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, the pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All of that. And the other thing that they found in his blood work was that his blood work was, I mean, it showed an enrichment of vitamins and minerals, right?
They called it super blood. That was just what they called it. It was that was just the remark that was made. His blood was very good, and they called it, it's even super.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Amazing. Well, this has been a wonderful start to our evening. I wish we had you all night long, Marjorie, because there's so much to this story. I also want to let everybody know that you are in the process of writing a book about this experience. Right. It's not ready yet, but when it is, we're going to announce it so people will know that they can go to Amazon and buy it. This is a book I know everybody's going to want to read. It's going to be tremendous. And you have another book also about your own personal experience with brain surgery and how Carl nursed you back to health, which is just so heartwarming. So these two books will be available. When they are, we will let everybody in our audience know so they can purchase them and read it and hear it directly from you. So in the meantime, where's Carl? Can we get him on the phone and talk to him about
okay,
what he remembers?
He's He's still trying to work on this, but let me give the phone over to him.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello, Carl. Well, we have to hear your part of the story. We just heard from your beautiful wife and all of what she went through. Now, tell us about your experience. You went out to hunt elk. You did see a herd of elk, and you fired a shot at the biggest male, and what happened?
The mullets come out the end of the gun, and went out about 50 feet and dropped.
Ah, just dropped to the ground.
Yeah.
My goodness. That had to be startling to see that happen.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so you saw that, and then you turned to your left because somebody was looking at you. And what did you see?
Excuse me. I saw a being about 6 foot tall, weighed maybe 180 pounds. And he asked me if I was hungry. And I told him a little. Mm-hmm. So he floats these pills over.
He floated them over.
One.
Oh, my God.
Right.
So you took a pill.
And then he wanted to know if I wanted to go with him. And I said, might as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Uh-huh. Oh, my goodness. Did you feel that you had to say yes? Did you feel you had to say yes?
Not really.
No, so you actually wanted to go? Gosh, you're a brave man.
What else were you seeing with him around you like that?
Yeah, give me a minute.
Okay. I know there must have been that cubicle ship type of thing. It looked like a glass elevator, he said. That's what I was reading about in the story.
Mm-hmm.
So you saw a glass elevator type of thing?
No, it was about 5 foot high and 5 foot wide and 7 foot long.
Oh, wow.
Mm. And so he took you into this thing and you saw other people there, right?
Yeah. There was another being inside it. And they put the five elk and a panda in the back. And next thing I knew, I was up looking down at a basketball.
Oh, now we can see you on video, so that's great. Okay, there you are.
Hi.
All right. Good work, Carl. You did it. So now what everybody's looking at, who's watching us on Facebook, that is Carl Higdon and his beautiful wife, Marjorie, and who we've been talking to about this incredible experience. So, Carl, they actually took the elk. And they took it with them, and you.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Okay, so they took all of this, and you
we got up,
up into the air.
Yeah, we landed on a platform like. Big tower, like a space needle. And We kind of floated over to it. We didn't walk. We floated to the door and went up. And they put a 4x8 shield in front of me. They said, that's not what, you're not what we need. We'll take you back.
Wow. So they didn't want you. That's probably a good thing.
Well, I guess.
Well, I'm sure Marjorie's pleased.
Yes. So they brought you back home, that you were not what they wanted. So why is it that they didn't want you?
I don't know. Maybe it was because of my vasectomy.
That could explain.
Oh,
yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So they couldn't use you for any kind of a breeding program if that's what they were up to.
That could be.
That could be. But they wanted the elk. Now, why did they want the elk? Did they want the elk for breeding, for food?
For food?
Uh-huh.
They don't have much left on their planet.
I'll be darned.
So they came and took your elk.
Yeah, and they also... I'm sorry, I get...
When he talks about this, his eyes get to watering very quickly.
Right. I bet. This is a very emotional experience. Can you also move the camera so that he's in the frame, Marjorie? Because we can only see like little tiny parts of you and Carl.
There you go.
There, that's better. Okay, that's better. Yeah, we can only imagine how emotional this is for you, Carl. I mean, this is an incredible, truly out-of-this-world experience. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing that's happened. Now, also, the producer's asking if you can hit the mic button to mute it, Marjorie. Can you do that? The little mic symbol? Okay, and now we won't have any feedback, so that's better. Okay, so Carl, they told you they were going to bring you back home, and so they dropped you off, right? They brought you back. They wanted to keep your rifle, though, as I recall. They wanted your rifle. They liked it.
Yeah, they did. It was primitive.
It was primitive. It's an antique. They wanted
it was
to keep
brand
it.
New.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
For heaven's sakes.
And so they, this man, his name was Osso One, right? Osso, you spelled
Osso. Osso One.
And he wanted to keep your rifle, but then he said they were not allowed to keep your rifle.
Right. That's right. And
so
they brought me back.
And they gave you
they
a rifle.
They set me down on a side of the hill, and I fell down and hurt my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think...
Do you remember that still, huh? It's very emotional, I see that. Mm-hmm. Yes. And again, that to me and everybody listening tonight, this is the mark of a real adventure. This really happened. To have this much emotion so many years later is right. Very telling to the truth of this story. And I hope everybody listening understands this. It takes a lot of courage for Carl and Marjorie to relive this and share this experience with all of us. And we're very grateful that you're doing that, Carl and Marjorie. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. I can't even imagine this, PK. Having to go through this.
It's so incredible to think that they would be able to take him like that. But to see what he has as primitive makes you wonder how far the fact that Carl said lack of food.
Yes.
Yeah. That says something else, too. But just to take the one elk, why weren't they looking for more food?
Well, they took all of the elk, apparently. There were like
five elk.
So they took like the herd. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They did.
And
goodness gracious.
We have no idea how many more elk they've taken.
Yeah. Yes, I mean, you know, how are we going to stop them? We can't. We have no way to do that. Yes, and so the power is immeasurable.
What other types of foods they can eat or not eat, but their choices.
They process their food into pills.
Oh, that's why he offered you the pill. Asked if you were hungry, he gave you a pill.
That pill was supposed to last 4 days to them.
Oh, wow.
And it lasted about 3.5 per me.
That's right, because Marjorie was saying you weren't hungry at first. That one pill really filled you up for 3.5 days. You were full.
Right.
That's incredible how advanced they were to do that. Now, also, you said they didn't have fish on their planet, right? No fish?
Right, no fish. They come down and take fish out of the ocean.
Ah, those sneaky things. stealing our fish, stealing our people. Thank God they brought you back. Jeez, thank God you had that vasectomy.
Their fish can't live in their water. Their water is yellow.
Oh, it's yellow.
And I had a scientist try to debunk this story. And he said the reason they're bow-legged because they did not have vitamin D. Enough vitamin D. So,
and that comes
from ultraviolet and fish. So, I don't think you did a very good job.
Oh my.
Amazing.
Incredible. Incredible. Did Asa One tell you anything else about their civilization? He told you how far away they were, and you said it in light miles, right?
Right. And we don't know what light miles are.
No, we don't.
No,
we have no idea. We have no idea. But they did, thank God, bring you back. And then, of course, you were disoriented, right? You didn't know what happened, where you were. And your truck wasn't there. You were trying to find your truck.
My truck was stuck in a mud hole, but I didn't know it was mine.
You didn't.
Oh, goodness.
And you didn't park it there, right? You did not leave your truck in that spot.
No, when we come up off the ground, Hazo pointed his hand at it and it disappeared.
Oh,
now, for heaven's sakes.
I don't know where he put it. But it's kind of hard to believe.
Because it was found in a spot that was totally inaccessible. And everybody said there is no way in hell that you could have driven it there. It was like it had to be dropped by a military helicopter. Right? There is no way that it could have gotten there with you driving it or anybody driving it there.
And no tracks were even going in.
Oh, my goodness.
No tracks.
It was muddy.
The ditches
in that road are about 18 inches deep on both sides.
Oh, my God. 18 inches.
Going in.
Wow.
There's no way that you could drive down it. Fact is, the four-wheel drives that come in there, they cut trees down to make a road.
Mm. Well, so, we're going to come back in just a minute, Carl, and we're going to have you continue with your story and what happened and everything else about it. We're going to talk about that bullet again, and we're just going to take a very short break. Everybody, you are listening to Supernatural Girls Radio. We will be right back. Welcome back, everyone, to Supernatural Girls Radio. I'm your host, Patricia Baker. I am here with my co-host, PK, and the most intriguing guests I think we have ever had on the show. We have Marjorie and Carl Higdon with us tonight, talking about an incredible abduction experience. And if you're watching us on video, you can also see their adorable dog, Doc, who has just joined us. He is the sweetest little dog. But Carl, we've been talking, and Marjorie, we've been talking about the bullet. Now, I will tell you, I contacted a friend of mine who handled ammunitions for the New York City Police Department, and he trained snipers also. And I showed him your article. I showed him the picture of the bullet that Marjorie had studio shots taken of. Mm-hmm. And he said, Patricia, I have never, ever seen anything like this in all my years of working with the police and with ammunition. Never seen anything like this from a commercial weapon ever. So it had basically been turned inside out and all the lead was gone, right? That's what happened?
Right.
Incredible.
It's like it hit a force field, I think.
Because it didn't find its target, because you pointed it at the elk. It didn't hit the elk. And you said you saw it just kind of floating and then drop. But you picked it up, which was great that you picked it up and put it in your canteen.
Mm-hmm.
I did that before. They took me. Actually, I don't think it's an abduction. I agreed to go with them.
So you agreed to go, so you don't think of it as they kidnapped you. You think of it as you went along with it.
Right.
That they invited him.
Yeah, they invited. He said, yeah.
Nothing else to do. I think I'll take a trip. Carl,
oh my gosh.
I was wondering if, because you said the you didn't hit the elk with it. Were the elk that they took, did they take them living as, on the hoof, shall we say, as opposed to asleep or what have you?
Well, all I know is they floated across the field,
mm-hmm,
and were put in the back end of this cubicle we were in. And I hadn't figured out how we all fit in that little cubicle.
But the elk were alive at the time?
Yes.
So that's probably why
they were alive.
They wanted to keep them alive. That's why they didn't let the bullet hit them.
Hmm? Well, I guess.
Uh-huh.
I don't.
You also saw people in there, humans, right? That you saw other human beings,
yeah,
in there.
Oh.
There was a man and three or four kids. They were standing on the outside of this deal we went into. When we come out, they looked like humans, so I don't know what they were doing there. But they were talking amongst themselves like nothing was wrong.
Hmm.
So I don't know if maybe these guys that got me were not human. Maybe, mm-hmm, they were androids.
Oh.
Well, that's a possibility, definitely.
Yes, that's a possibility, absolutely.
Because
yes.
They did not walk. They floated. Wherever they went, they just floated across the ground.
Mm. I'll be darned.
So, these beings that I've seen up there might belong there. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to say. Now, another thing that we just talked about off the air, which we all find fascinating, is that you still have a telepathic connection with Asa One. You can still speak to him.
Yeah, I do every once in a while.
Does he have anything interesting to say? What does he talk about with you?
Let me get my breath back here.
Okay.
About 2 weeks ago, I told him we needed some rain. The next day, we got 3 inches of rain.
And wow.
The day after that, we got two.
Oh, my God.
I told him to shut it off.
Oh, my goodness. So
incredible.
He is kind of like a good friend if he does something like that for you. I think he likes you.
Could be.
That's amazing.
And I can ask him questions like, how long will you live?
And what's his answer?
He'll tell me. How long?
Wow. You mean you can ask him, like, how long I would live, and he would know? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, my goodness.
My husband wants to know so he can buy the insurance policy. Buy a big one.
That would be neat, wouldn't it? But
for Kim, not for her.
I asked him about one of my wife's bosses, and he had cancer.
Oh.
And I asked him, is he going to be okay? He come back and said, yeah, he'll be home in a month or so, and he'll be fine. He come back, he was fine. He died of a heart attack.
Oh,
not cancer.
Oh, my goodness. Incredible. Mm. I'm amazed at this. Aren't you, PK? This is This is the first time I've heard this type of an interaction, this kind of friendship, where you're able to communicate with somebody from another galaxy. I think he's from another galaxy. Who knows? But
I think so.
I mean, this is there's a really touching thing about this relationship you have with him. This is the first I've heard of it. Yeah, and
Carol,
it's really a blessing.
Definitely. What other questions?
Oh,
please do.
Yes, go ahead, Marjorie.
We also have a certificate from the psychiatrist that says he does not have any mental illnesses.
Well, I would not think so. He's too bright.
Yeah. Yes, and too grounded. I mean,
that's
really.
Right. Definitely.
You're both very down-to-earth people. I mean, you're very down-to-earth and very methodical, you know, about how you go about things.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just, again, an amazing experience that took you out of this reality into another. But I'm so impressed with your friendship with Asa One.
Yes.
And I think, and again, it really says something about who you both are as people.
Mm-hmm.
That you are taken more or less under the wing of these advanced beings. They must have respect for you, which is unusual. I mean, because we must be like ants to them, you know? But here's this friendship that you've developed. My heart is full of love. I mean, I just feel so amazed at this experience this way. It's incredible. It's just an incredible experience. No,
Have you been told anything to enhance your personal life?
No.
So it's strictly on that makes good sense also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
but he can't change things.
He can't.
Yeah, I can ask for help, but it don't do any good.
Okay.
They can't change anything.
Okay.
Here on Earth.
Okay.
Can you be told something that's going to take place?
Do what?
I didn't catch that. Ask her to repeat.
I said, can he be told anything that may take place?
Like
something of something that's coming in the future.
In the future.
They probably could, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look to the future. I'm downstairs, boy.
You're strictly one day at a time. That's nothing wrong with that.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
sometimes a little bit of knowledge is too much.
That's right. Now, Marjorie, have you ever had any dealings with Osso One?
Only when we've gone out and the different things that I have seen since it has happened.
Like,
so you've seen the lights in the sky.
Well, I'd be sleeping at night and wake up, say, we got to go. See, where we're going? Out south. So we went out south, and we're supposed to sit on this hill, and we sat there for about 15 minutes, and we drove down. We got that back down on the main road. This looked like an ice cream cone, upside down, shot from something about 150 to 200 feet in the air. And then we smelt
horrible,
like, dirty. I don't know, dirty socks or something. And sulfur-like. I told her, I said, a good thing we wasn't up there.
Yeah,
I guess so.
But
he doesn't know what would have happened.
I don't know what. They might have took me and my wife and my son was with us, and they might have took us again. I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know in this situation. But you said you were followed by lights in the sky for a long time after the initial experience, right?
Right. My crew members even saw them.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
It wasn't just me.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were at the least bit shy about letting you know they were around then.
That's right.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah. They let you know. They're watching. They were watching you. Gosh. Well, why do you think they came to you? Do you think it was just right place, right time?
Wrong place.
Wrong time.
Wrong place, right time, yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Uh-huh.
But they might have initialed it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. They might have really chosen.
Stories of that area of the forest, that strange things happen there.
Oh, okay. So other people have reported seeing things.
That since it happened.
Okay. So it's in the whole area.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
I took a bit of a risk singing that song, but of course the one place I never take chances is the road, where Progressive Snapshot rewards your safe driving. A good driver plus Snapshot equals big discounts. And speaking of math, 1 + 1 = 2, little too late.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California, North Carolina, or from all agents.
Is mystical for some reason, probably a portal there or something.
It has that
right.
Sound, doesn't it?
And when the film crews came in to take pictures of the area, a lot of them would not go down into the actual area. They said it was too weird, they refused to go into the actual area.
Well, that's
so they were spooked.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Darned.
Yeah, they didn't want to go up in that cube.
Yes.
They probably didn't have vasectomies either, so they know that.
Especially the ones that was really afraid of it were the Japanese out there.
Really? They were the most afraid.
They came and did a video down there.
Uh-huh. And they were afraid, or they weren't afraid? They were?
Were afraid. They would not go into it. They refused.
Incredible.
You know, incredible. Did they say anything about what they were feeling or what they anticipated about the fear of?
No. I don't know what they were afraid of. Maybe they're afraid they'd take them. I don't know.
Yeah. Yes, they could have been.
Was it didn't feel right.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when people heard about this story, this was back in 74 and then on to 75, when you had your television shows done. You were also on Leonard Nimoy's In Search Of. They did a segment about your story, which I know was excellent. Mm-hmm. How did people treat you after that? Were they accepting of this and accepting of you? Were they supportive or not?
I've only had one person say that I was crazy. And I talked to her for about 30 minutes on the telephone.
Mm-hmm.
She changed her mind.
Oh, good.
Good job. Good job.
Good for you.
Told of her That's experience.
Good. That's good. Well, you know, and I think it sounds like you live in a community that is supportive, and you all stick together, which is a good thing, because there's so many people that have these experiences, and then they get treated so badly. And so I'm really glad to hear you were treated well by your community at large. That's a wonderful thing to hear.
Definitely. Did it affect the children at all?
Even all my bosses felt the same way. They never said they accepted it like it was.
Good. Wonderful.
Fantastic. You know, isn't that great?
Fact is, a year after this happened to me, another company hired me for more money than what I was making before.
Oh, that's great.
So
it didn't affect
you. It helped in the long run.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
And then I had...
Oh, it didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt. It didn't hurt anyway.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
And I'll run their well service business for 5 years between drilling and well service.
And had several men under you working.
And I had several men under me working, and I had no problem with none of them.
No, that's
Isn't
fabulous.
That great? Yes, it's excellent. That's really good to hear. I have regained my faith in the human race hearing
yes.
that. That's good. Very good. Wow.
Go ahead,
Marta.
The people of Rawlins, when they ask them about the story, they said if it was anybody besides Carl, they would not have believed it. But knowing Carl, they believed it. He's a matter of fact, that person.
Oh, that's great.
Yes, and you can see that today.
Definitely.
I mean, you're both matter of fact people. You're both down to earth. I can tell you both wouldn't lie. You would never make up a story like this. And besides, it's so, again, outside of what you grew up with, what you knew about. It just wouldn't, mm-hmm. It's not possible. I mean, this really happened. We have no doubt. And I know our audience has no doubt that this truly did happen. And Marjorie, can you get back on the phone for a second? I just want to ask you a question.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, I'm just very curious in terms of how this you see this affecting your life and Carl's life. Do you see it in a positive light? Do you see that it was, or how do you see it? I mean, I'm going to shut up and just ask you the question. How do you see it?
Well, the way I see it, if it hadn't been for Dr. Sprinkle, neither one of us would probably be here.
Tell us a little more about
that. The book that I wrote. the book mm-hmm. that I wrote, I had to write it about 20 years ago for my own therapy, trying to understand this.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of answers
your question?
And Leo
did. And yes. For Leo, he did the regressive hypnosis with a pendulum for Carl. And I know Leo is a true healer, so I'm sure all of that really helped put things in perspective.
Not only that, Carl could call him in the middle of the night and talk to him.
Oh, good.
We had a lot of things after this happened that happened because of this, and it's in my book. That Carl would have to talk to Sprinkle and try to understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Carl was sure for a lot of times that he had to have dreamt this. He said it's just too bizarre. And I told him there's the bullet, there's the hospital bill.
There is a hospital bill. That's right. That wasn't a hallucination. That's right.
There was the search party. And there was all this other proof that we have that something happened.
Marjorie, can you move a little closer so we can see you? Can you move a little closer to Carl? There. We want to see your pretty face here.
So, thank you.
Well, again, a big thank you goes out to Leo Sprinkle. Dr. Sprinkle was very valuable in your integration of this experience and your recovery from the shock of it. So thank goodness for Dr. Sprinkle, and we give a big shout out to Leo. He's certainly a dear friend to so many, and we appreciate him. He's a great guy. If it hadn't been for him, we wouldn't have met you all, and we're very grateful. I mean, this is an incredible story. I can't wait for you to finish your book.
Exactly.
So that we can sit to everybody, so everybody mm-hmm. can buy this, because I know we barely scratched the surface of all of what has happened. I know I've read countless articles, but still we learned even more tonight during the interview. So this is a story that has to be told, and we're so glad you're writing it down, Marjorie. We're so happy that you're doing that.
The book should be out in about a month.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Just in time for a Christmas gift,
for
right?
Christmas, yes.
How about that?
If this ever happens to anybody, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Say if this happens to anybody out there,
yep.
Talk to Dr. Sprinkle or talk to somebody you know and trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's great advice, yeah. You don't want to keep it all inside.
No, you can't.
You want to
speak to an
expert like Dr. Sprinkle, who is able to help you through this and help you understand all of it.
Don't dwell on it.
And then get on with your life. Don't dwell on it.
And what I heard Marjorie also say is don't dwell on it. Just keep on going, right?
Right.
That's right. Well, thank you all so much for coming on the show. Thank you, Doc, for being so adorable. We've been watching you, too.
It's been a joy talking to both of you.
It has been. I'm sure we're going to have you back on the show once your book is out. And
right.
We will announce it again for everybody. You have two books coming out. So as soon as they're available, Marjorie, please let us know.
Right.
And we will announce it on our Facebook page and also on our website. And also, everybody, please go to our Facebook page in the post I put up about the Carl Higdon abduction. You will find photographs of the bullet, of the truck, drawings of also one. And you will also see many other things. There's a picture of the craft, what that looks like, all kinds of fascinating little pieces of information on our Facebook page. So, Carl and Marjorie, are you still there?
Yep.
Okay. Well, again, many thanks. Much love to you both for having the courage to speak about this. And again, we wish you all the best. Much love to you.
Thank you.
Okay, you take care. And everybody in our audience, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another exciting show. Who do we have next week?
We have a young lady that with her red bag. We'll start with that. How's that? Paige will be with us next week.
Paige is with us next week. Until then, we'll see you on the Blue Highway. Good night, everybody.
Good night.